NYC, a fierce debate rages on whether to extend or end mayoral control of public schools. Supporters seek an extension, while citizens demand repeal after 22 years of limited local governance. How should New York State legislators vote? Let's talk about it.
The Policy Effect Podcast with Dr. Michelle Williams. The Policy Effect aims to inform, engage, and empower listeners to think deeply and broadly about the origin and intent of education policy, the consequences of its implementation, and solutions for corrective action. Let's talk about it.
Hey folks, in New York City, there is a heated debate surrounding the extension or repeal of mayoral control over the public school system. So what is it?
In a mayoral controlled system, decision-making authority is in the hands of the mayor and appointed officials, not those of us in the trenches.
The mayor appoints a chancellor with zero oversight or approval. The mayor appoints the majority of PEP members with zero oversight or approval. The PEP appointees do the mayor's bidding. They rarely diverge from their orders and often find themselves removed if they do, and so they don't.
That was Kathleen in Jordan, who spoke at a New York City hearing. And PEP, or PEP, stands for Panel for Educational Policy, which replaced the New York City Board of Education by former Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He was the first mayor to get control of the public school system, and the Board of Education became a city department under his authority and no longer had autonomy over New York City schools. That happened 22 years ago. And in 2024, New York City citizens are rising up and demanding change. The mainstream media is pumping out its support for mayoral control, while most of the affected communities are speaking out against it. Four speakers, Monty, Tucson, Sean, Jones, had something to say about it.
No mayor should dictate the quality of education for nearly 1 million children without any type of accountability.
We feel that the voices of our community have been disenfranchised by the current structure of mayoral control.
We need more voices and more checks and more balances on the current model. The status quo is damaging our schools. Thank you.
If we want a more integrated, more accessible school districts for all 32, we the people have to govern what we want out of our schools. We are parents, we are teachers, we are principals, we are superintendents, and we need full autonomy on what we want our schools, not the mayor.
Communities are targeting New York State elected and appointed officials. And from December 2023 to January 2024, the New York State Board of Regents came to New York City to hear what people had to say.
Good evening and welcome to the first of five public hearings on mayoral control of New York City public schools.
The top New York State education brass came to the five boroughs.
My name is Lester Young Jr., and I'm the chancellor for the New York State Board of Regents. I'm joined this evening by our commissioner of education and president of the University of the State of New York, Dr. Betty Rosa.
There are special interest groups lobbying and local citizens advocating to their state representatives. On the one side, supporters of mayoral control are actively pushing for an extension.
My name is David Banks. I am the chancellor of the New York City Public Schools. And thank you for providing me with this opportunity to testify on the governance of New York City Public Schools. Yet I know from firsthand experience that the flaws of the previous system and the ways that our students suffered as a result. Mayoral accountability, in contrast, is as close as we can get to a system that is the most manageable, least politicized, and most impactful.
Supporters of mayoral control have been successful for the last 22 years at keeping governance of New York City public schools out of the control of local citizens. So what's the reason for that? Why eliminate or reduce the influence of the local community in the governance of their schools? Well, it's because parents, as well as professional educators, they just get in the way. They can block or derail reforms that outsiders believe are a better option for children in public schools. So these outside forces had to reduce their influence. During the public hearings, parents who were elected to education councils expressed how the model of mayoral control nullifies their influence and voice. Here's Gavin, Llewellyn, and Toussaint talking about the concerns of parents on the Community Education Councils, or CECs, and the PEP, or the former New York City Board of Education.
We don't have such a democratic governance structure in our city. The PEP, with a majority of mayoral appointees, is certainly not it. Our CECs are not it. While our mayorally controlled DOE is supposed to support the work of our CECs, we who've served on those bodies know that's not the case.
We propose a shift towards a more representative PEP, with fewer mayoral appointees and additional members who represent the community.
I came out tonight to represent the parents in my district and their concerns with mayoral control. Parents in District 30 do not feel that the current system of mayoral control represents them or their wishes in District 30. The current structure of mayoral control does not give an adequate voice to parents, teachers, or school administration who are intimately knowledgeable of what their schools need and how they can help the children in those buildings.
Parents and professional educators want local input in the governance of their schools. That's a lot of input from a lot of communities in New York City. And I'm not just talking about the neighborhoods. I'm including the communities that develop within school buildings. These communities are unique and dynamic and sustaining when all voices are valued and have influence over the school's educational programs. Amy, Ariello, and Elizabeth pointed out how giving mayor power over schools does not bring educational stability or continuity to the system, and it has not met the needs of the city's most vulnerable students.
New York City schools exhibit compliance issues each year when it comes to special education programs and services. For the past 17 years, the DOE has been identified as a school district that needs intervention with compliance for students with special needs. This mayor, his predecessors, along with their appointees, have created a system that does not support students with special needs.
In the 21 years since the state legislature handed over control of New York City public schools to the mayor, we've witnessed the reign of three vastly different leaders: Michael Bloomberg, Bill de Blasio, and now Eric Adams. However, a concerning pattern has emerged. Despite the changes in leadership, mayors have wielded their power over the schools in arbitrary ways, acting as if they are school chancellor, overriding the expertise of educators and ignoring parental input when it suited them.
As a result, our school's plans are constantly pivoting with changes in leadership and direction. Projects are often halted without being given time to be deemed effective or dismantled despite proving their value.
The argument in favor of mayoral control is that it's supposed to make the governance of the school system more effective. It's supposed to ensure that there's one vision and that the educational priorities are in alignment throughout the whole system. This is supposed to lead to school improvement, but that's not really the reality for school-based educators. For instance, Rachel and Caitlin provide examples of the challenges they face with the implementation of new educational priorities by an outgoing and incoming mayor.
A couple years ago, I had an experience emblematic of the absurdity and waste of mayoral control. Boxes full of books were being delivered unannounced to schools. 4.3 million books, to be exact. Awesome, brand new books by diverse authors telling powerful stories. Mayor de Blasio had at last agreed to create and promote a culturally responsive and sustaining curriculum after years of fierce advocacy by parents and communities of color. We received the books and were awaiting training and curricula. But because under mayoral control, every time we get a new mayor, we also get a bunch of arbitrary and abrupt changes we have no say in, Mayor Adams scrapped all that. And so every school now had crates full of hundreds of gorgeous but decontextualized books that cost tens of millions of dollars and had to figure out how to either stash them in a sub-basement or give them away, since we had neither the space nor the context to use them meaningfully.
But the problem is the rollout. This administration had no plan for how to select the curriculum or how to introduce this very ambitious shift in literacy teaching and learning. Teachers are being trained by salespeople during hastily thrown together professional development. rather than educators who know the curriculum well and can speak from experience about its effectiveness and how best to implement it.
As we've heard, new elections bring mayors with different educational priorities, which keep shifting. This has had a negative effect on school instructional programs and their learning environments. Look, let's keep it real. Mayors, just like other elected officials, are influenced by special interest groups or individuals who are part of the public school reform movement, like former Mayor Michael Bloomberg. This trend towards public school reform is funded by wealthy foundations, nonprofit organizations, testing companies, charter school networks, and private investors, which feel they can do a better job of educating children classified as low income and disadvantaged. Plus, let's not forget, public education is good for business. Yep, it's good for the business education market, which is why there's such a strong push to get government out of the way, and that's code for local citizens, and outsource the running of public schools to non-governmental entities. That's a lot to unpack, and I'll talk about that in a separate episode. These forces have been in the driver's seat and stepping on the gas ever since 2001, when the No Child Left Behind Act was passed, and in 2002, when the billionaire mayor, Michael Bloomberg, convinced the New York State legislators to give him control of the New York City public school system. What you may not know is that this school governance issue isn't a recent occurrence. At one of the hearings, Bill, a doctoral student, introduced an important historical note about mayoral control of New York City public schools.
With my studies of the last few years, I've had the opportunity to look at the history around New York City school governance in some depth. This mayoral control model is simply a case of history repeating, literally 100 years ago, when we first moved from wards in the 1920s towards this current model. These were the same debates we had 100 years ago, and we're having them again because we didn't learn our lesson the first time.
And that debate Bill spoke about involved the business community as well. Back then, as they do today, businesses wanted public schools to train workers for their industries. You know, they call it vocational education. Back in the day, it was called woodshop, metal shop, home economics and sewing classes. Today, they call it CTE, or career technical education. Other businesses were peddling their products and services, such as textbook publishers, testing companies, which still do it today. The difference is that in New York City, these companies no longer need their sales agents to secure contracts with individual schools. They can go through the mayor to get the contracts for the entire school system. Having one person in charge of the public school system makes it convenient for the companies with the most influence to get their products and services into schools, whether or not educators or parents need it or want it. So, folks, when I listen carefully to the passionate voices of those directly impacted by policies and decisions related to mayoral control of the school system, I hear people reacting to the loss of their right to governance power. The key players, though, are not the mayor or the school's chancellor. It is our elected officials. They are the people who legislated power away from New York City citizens and, for the past 22 years, have refused to return local governance authority to the people who voted them into office. Come on, folks. Do we really understand what is happening here? I'll summarize it this way. Our elected officials, using the authority of the state, remove local governance powers from the people of New York City, and then pass legislation that allow corporations, charters, and nonprofit organizations to manage their own group of public schools, as well as perform the functions of local school districts. So, why are private organizations and non-certified public officials trusted to manage public schools instead of the certified education professionals and local communities? In terms of governance, who carries the responsibility for public schools? Is it the business community or the local community? Well, back in 1859, this issue was being debated and challenged, and George S. Botwell, the Massachusetts Secretary of Education, laid it out plainly to opponents who wanted control of public schools. He said,
A public school, I understand to be a school established by the public, supported chiefly or entirely by the public, controlled by the public, and accessible to the public upon terms of equality. Boutwell, 1859, page 188.
Established, supported, controlled by the public, and accessible to the public. I find this quote still relevant today. How do New York state legislators justify turning a critical government function over to private control without the consent of the people, especially the people whose children attend public schools? Our elected officials face the critical decision of whether to restore school governance authority to the citizens of New York City or withhold it once more. So, people, what are we going to do about it? I say, let's start by asking our state representatives how they're going to vote on mayoral control and why. And then let's do a check-in to share what you are doing so we can talk about it later. Okay, folks, you've got your assignment. Now let's get to work. I thank you for tuning in, and please click the like button and subscribe to my podcast so you can get notified of newly released episodes. If you have something to say or some stories to tell, you can contact me at Dr. Michelle, that's with one L, Dr. Michelle at thepolicyeffect.com. Upcoming episodes on The Policy Effect with Dr. Michelle Williams.
Episode 2 will discuss an alternative governance model for New York City public schools that can begin implementation in July 2024. And in Episode 3, we're going to dive deeper into the who, what, where, when, and the whys of the so-called reforms of public school systems. Once you learn how we got here, then you'll know how to get our schools and its systems to a better place.